happy feast of St. Andrew. And happy, you say happy Bonifacio Day? Is that how you? Andres Bonifacio is also honored today, one of the national heroes. So it's a holiday. Well, one of the first things I experienced this morning was that a pipe broke in our behind our kitchen there, so water was everywhere. And I guess Sandra's the one who discovered it, and there was no way to stop the water. She had to run out to the street and shut off the main water supply. What does that have to do with anything? A little while later, I went out walking, and our neighbor down the street also had a pipe burst, and there was water flowing out all over, flowing out the driveway, and the helpers were scrambling around trying to figure out how to shut off the water supply. They couldn't figure it out, so it might still be flowing right now. My theory is that since it's a holiday and people are not using the water, the pressure built up, and so any weak point in the system failed and the water pipes burst. But since this is the feast of St. Andrew, I'd like to connect it to the experience of Andrew and the other apostles. Andrew, remember, was a disciple of St. John the Baptist, along with another one of the apostles, traditionally St. John, but anyway. That was kind of normal to find a prophet, find a leader, find someone who was pointing toward the way of God. But when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world," it's as if a pipe burst. And now it wasn't a normal situation. Now there's water flowing everywhere. The situation changes dramatically once the Messiah appears, once Jesus makes himself publicly known. In fact, he happened to make himself known in the water of the Jordan. So suddenly there's a new fountain of water, a new endless source of abundant grace, a new river of life flowing through the city of Jerusalem. And that's what changed Andrew's life. And not only Andrew and the other apostle, and then Andrew very quickly went to get his brother Peter. So what we're reflecting on here when we're celebrating the Feast of St. Andrew is the impact of the arrival of the Messiah on those first to recognize him, first to be called by him. Although the liturgy seems to stress not so much Andrew as an individual example, but the apostles as a whole, because instead of choosing one of the readings in which Andrew actually says something in the Gospels, and there are a few where Andrew has a unique role, instead of choosing one of those readings about Andrew, the church has chosen this passage from Matthew about the call of the first four apostles, the two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. As if the emphasis is not on Andrew, but on Jesus' calling of the apostles as a whole. And we see this also in the first reading, a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. He's speaking about not a specific action of an individual apostle, and not even about himself, but about this, the beauty of someone being called to bring the good news, someone called to preach so that people can hear, so that they can believe, so that they can call on the Lord. You see this progression that Paul speaks about. How can they call on him if they don't believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? How can they hear about him if there's no one to preach? How can someone preach unless he is sent? So the beautiful thing the church is celebrating here is that God sent Andrew, that God sent the apostles to preach the gospel. And because they responded and they preached, and because people, at least some people, received the word and believed and they called on the Lord, that has changed everything. And this abundant river of grace is still flowing in the church. One of the striking things about Andrew is that even though he's the first to be called, he is not included among the three of the most prominent apostles. When Jesus created a kind of inner circle, he excluded Andrew. The inner circle, as you know, Peter, James, and John. So of the four called in today's gospel, three of them become the closest companions of Jesus, and one of them gets left out. That's Andrew. We have no record of what Andrew thought about that. If he didn't like it at some point in his journey, and it's very likely that he found himself upset by it, he transcended that natural reaction and welcomed the unfolding of the plan of God to such a point that he could lay down his life for the gospel. Andrew is also honored as a martyr. I was thinking about the relationship of the apostles to one another. We know that they squabbled about which of them was the greatest. We know that they questioned whether, at least Peter explicitly questioned whether, how many times he would have to forgive his brother. Was he talking about Andrew? I don't know. Maybe he was talking in general, but he did have a brother right there with him among the 12, Peter and Andrew. Maybe they got sometimes into disagreements. And my thoughts turned to Andres Bonifacio, because there's a similar kind of a squabble. In fact, this is true in every human community and every historical development. There's always a question about who's greater. I'm sure you know the dispute about Bonifacio and Aguinaldo, and even in the historical interpretation of the place of the national heroes. I was always told that the Americans are the ones who proclaimed Rizal as the real hero, because the Americans like the intellectual who wasn't going to make any trouble. Maybe that's true. Bonifacio, of course, is a man of courage and determination, and he is the firebrand who started the actual revolution, Cry of Bulintawak and all that. Anyone who's in favor of taking action, activists, revolutionaries, they favor Bonifacio. And then anybody who respects or favors political strategies and maneuvering, they favor Aguinaldo, because Aguinaldo was the one who somehow survived the turmoil. Of course, I studied in Cavite when I was in the seminary, and in Cavite, Aguinaldo is the big hero. But if you go to Tondo or into Manila, Bonifacio is the great hero. Anyway, that issue, who's the greatest, you can't solve it like that. And it doesn't even make any difference. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles when they were arguing about who was the greatest, and they had this exact argument, who's the greatest? Jesus took a child and put the child right in front of them and said, the one who serves the rest is the greatest. The one who is the least is the greatest. Andrew must have welcomed that message. He must have taken that wisdom very deeply and gotten to the point where he welcomed being less than those top three, Peter, James, and John. He must have done that, otherwise he couldn't be honoring him as a holy saint, a holy apostle, a holy martyr. He must have discovered the greatness of being less. And that's a discovery that we all have to make. If we're going to make any progress in the journey of faith, we have to realize that the striving to be the greatest will be our downfall unless we learn that the way to greatness is service, humility, making a gift of ourselves for the good of others. That is the way to greatness. Andrew shows us this. All the apostles show us this. All the saints show us this. This is central to the message of the gospel. We cannot rise up can't force ourselves into God's plan and make it adjust to what we think it should be. God's plan is greater than our plan, and his choice to put us somewhere in his plan is the greatest choice. So our joy, our freedom, our fulfillment comes from discovering and accepting and welcoming that place, whether it's number 4, number 12, number 100 or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. Welcoming what God has decided is the way to freedom and to greatness. It's the way to gain the benefit from the overflowing waters, from the pipe that has burst onto the world and is available in abundance. The way to welcome that is to welcome the will of God. If we keep fighting against the flow, if we keep trying to shut off the flow of grace, we're just going to be frustrated and ultimately defeated. So Andrew tells us, welcome the word, welcome the message, welcome the plan of God in however it comes to us. And welcome the place that you have. Each of us has to welcome the place that he has in the plan of God. And that's the way to greatness.